Now, the voices of Bronco Athletics, Bob Beeler and Chris Lewis on Sports Radio 93.1 FM and 1350 AM, The Ticket.
The NBA has had a very lopsided playoffs this year. Not a lot of compelling games. Most compelling thing the NBA has had in the last week or so on TV was last night's lottery. And it ends up with the marquee teams coming up with the best picks. The Celtics get the first. They had the best chance to get it. The Lakers get the second. And I've heard nobody that was in the room, and there was a representative from each team in the room, squawking that there was a fix, because based on the teams that got it, you might think a fix was in. I don't know how easy it is to manipulate numbers that pop up, but Chris Lewis, the NBA probably as a league got what it wanted last night. LeVar Ball's son, Lonzo, is probably going to play for the Lakers at two. The Celtics are going to have a sweepstakes with their one, and I felt for you. You look like you were going to have a great pick for the Sixers, possibly two great picks. They end up with one pretty good pick, and I guess you could have been better, you could have been worse.
Whew. All right, so three things. I'm going to break it down into three parts here. Number one, lottery. You're right. It was great TV. Like, say what you want about, like, the system in place, and maybe it rewards tanking, or you want to weight it differently, or the result was that the Celtics and the Lakers and the Sixers all got the top three. But the lottery is fantastic television. Yeah, Walt Clyde Frazier up in there wearing his quote-unquote lucky suit that's about as ridiculous as all the other suits that he wears when he calls these Knicks games. Yeah, Joel Embiid, who was representing the Sixers, when that pick swap was confirmed that, you know, the Kings were going to be inside the top three, thus that pick was probably going to go to the Sixers. It cut to him, and he was out there nodding like he knew what was up.
I think at first he didn't quite understand what they were saying, and then he kind of caught it partway through when they were talking about
it. He knew when the Kings part, because when the order goes, it was the Knicks that came up one spot back from where they were supposed to, because that meant the Kings moved up in it. And Embiid knew right away that that was good news. But he wasn't sure when the Sixers came up with their with the five, and that pick would belong to the Kings on the swap. That's when he got a little bit confused.
In fairness, I was confused because they put the logo of the team that was actually going to have the pick, and then they had like the name of the other one below it. Yeah, we were wondering how they were going to do it. I don't think, well, of course, the lottery with the trades was complicated. I don't think they made it as clear as they could have.
Yeah, but Embiid, the dude is about as charismatic as a guy could be, a seven-footer out there. And I mean, he's like the golden child of the NBA community. Everybody loves him, so it's fun that he's on my favorite team. Of course, Magic Johnson's out there with his nervous laugh beforehand when they cut to Embiid, who was sitting right next to Magic, and they were talking to Embiid. You have a chance of a very good day here, first and four, but you'd have to steal the pick from the legend sitting right next to you. And Magic's out here chuckling with his nervous laugh, and then when he ended up getting things going his way, he had his typical smile. He also did a little bit of a dance to go along with it. I mean, this is all going on TV. It's like American Idol, where everybody's in anticipation of the results of who's eliminated or who moves on in American Idol. But instead, it's with NBA legends, and it has to do with luck. And I had my black eyed peas ready to go. I was eating black eyed peas while watching it. So it's great TV. That's first and foremost. The Sixers, they'll be all right. It wasn't a home run. As I said, it could have been number one and number four, but it was still a positive. It's interesting because Philadelphia had a draft party that had about like 3,000 people there at a bar and right by the stadiums, and they called it Sam's Town for Sam Hinkie, the general manager who was basically dismissed because the NBA wanted him to be dismissed. But it was a fitting kind of end to his legacy, if you will, because that pick swap that he orchestrated, that trade that he was able to manipulate from Vlade Divac and the Sacramento Kings, that was the thing that ended up having the Sixers go from that five pick to the three because of that pick swap. So after 10 straight years that the Sixers finished between 6th or 11th before the quote-unquote tank era of Sam Hinkie started, there was 10 straight years of finishing between 6th place and 11th place in the Eastern Conference. That is the definition of Nowheresville. You're not bad enough to get any good, and you're not good enough to be good. In a roster of bad contracts and no future picks, the Sixers now have Embiid, they have Simmons, they have Dario Saric, Robert Covington is the guy they developed. They can get Josh Jackson with this pick at number 3. They get the Lakers pick unprotected next year. They get the Kings pick unprotected in 2019. They have all the cap space in the world to work with. They're going to be all right. All right, they have plenty of assets, and Sam Hinkie has done a phenomenal job. It's up to Brian Colangelo now, who's their GM, who had to take the place of Sam Hinkie to do the right things with it. But Sam Hinkie, as a general manager, did a fantastic job with the Sixers, a team that had no assets in the middle of nowhere, and turned it into all of this. Future looks bright. So even though it wasn't first and four, I still love the position that they're in.
I think the Sixers coaching staff is on notice. They've got talent. They've got to put it together. I think Colangelo, who's the coach right now for the Sixers?
Brett Brown.
I think that position is going to be the key position moving forward. And if it doesn't look like they're showing progress, I think they'll need to decide who they want to coach that team going forward.
Yeah, I think he's a pretty good coach from everything I've been able to follow. And then last on this is the Lakers. Should have known that if Magic Johnson was going to show up, he wasn't going to show up to be embarrassed. He wasn't going to show up unless it worked out. So I should have known the Lakers would get exactly what they want. However, Lakers and their fans, they try to act like they're the elitist of NBA basketball. Like they're above the rest of the league. Like they're too classy to be bad to get good. They're too classy to do something like tank. Guess what? The Lakers, they're no better than anybody else. In fact, they're actually worse. They're actually worse than teams like the Sixers and everybody who else you shame for being really bad to get good. The Lakers are even worse than those teams. And guess what? They get none of the heat for it, which is getting on my nerves that the Lakers keep getting none of the heat for being sorry and intentionally being sorry while all these other teams, it's ruining the NBA. The Lakers are right in there with it. So what? Los Angeles, at this point, you need to embrace it. Embrace that you're the face of the tank era. Own it. Your tanking is worse because not only did it affect the Lakers, it affected another team with their protected pick. The Sixers should have had their pick if it was outside the top three. But guess what? They assured themselves that they would finish inside the top three worst records. So their tanking not only affected themselves, it affected another team. Examples. 2015, their pick was top five protected. They found a way to make sure they had the second worst record in the West. They got the second pick in that draft. The Sixers ended up, for the record, getting the third. So the Lakers had a better pick than the Sixers that year.
Bitter.
The next year, 2016, top three protected pick, which means, again, if it falls inside the top three, the Lakers keep it. If it's outside the top three, Sixers get it. So what did the Lakers do? Ensure that they had a really bad team, played a bunch of young players at the end, and made sure Kobe took 50 shots a game so they could make sure they finished with one of the three worst records in the NBA. They finished with the worst record in the West, ended up getting the second pick in the draft that year. Then this year, same protections on that pick, top three. And what did they do? They torpedoed their season again, 26-56, second worst record in the West, and they get the number two pick in the draft. And for the record, the Sixers ended up getting five, but their pick swap, because they had a GM who knew what they were doing, was able to maneuver them to get to the third pick. So the Lakers in the last four seasons, a record of 91-237. I'll repeat that, 91-237. So forget the Sixers. They at least made savvy trades. They at least made foresight moves to put themselves in a position to take advantage of a rebuild. The Lakers just straight tanking for benefits. And they get none of the heat that the Sixers get for it. So you know what, Lakers? Enjoy being the Los Angeles Triple Bs. Y'all still will probably be sorry next year. And their pick, no longer top three protected. Their pick, unprotected next year. So the Sixers will get it.
I think what happens at one is going to be up for debate. I could see the Celtics using it. I could see the Celtics trading it to a number of people. I think Fultz will probably go one. I think what happened last night basically ensures that Lonzo Ball will get his wish, or his dad's wish, and end up playing for the Lakers. I hope it's the biggest dumpster fire out there, ends up with Mr. Ball and Magic Johnson feuding, and the Lakers continue to mire themselves on the bottom.
Yeah, next year, at least, can you get 1 year of them being, again, sorry, because, again, 91-237, and y'all call yourself basketball elitists. You guys are too good to tank to get good. Stop it! You guys are the face of the tank era, except they get none of the heat for it, so it continues to annoy me. So, yes, they will get Lonzo Ball, most likely, with the second pick, although there was a report from the Vertical of Yahoo that they would look at De'Aaron Fox. But LaVar Ball, he wished it into existence, is going to happen. Lonzo playing for the Lakers. Just because they add Lonzo to that current team does not going to turn them into a playoff team unless they make a drastic change with the current roster, and I don't know how they'd be able to do it. They're still going to be sorry, and if they're sorry next year, it's the Sixers' benefit, so I ain't worried.
Coming up tomorrow at 2:15, you'll hear from Coach Brian Harsin. It'll be another edition of Huddle Up with Hars, and then you can get the best sports radio, The Ticket, with the must-have ticket app at iTunes or KTIK.com. You can access social media posts, live broadcasts, featured interviews and conversations, and entire shows. It's an Idaho sports lover's dream. Download the sports radio, The Ticket app today. As a pro athlete, would you rather have your wife and family members be seen and not heard? Tom Brady may feel that way. We really haven't heard much from Lonzo Ball. Wonder if he feels that way. We'll discuss next on Sports Radio, The Ticket. Idaho Sports Talk, Bob Beeler, Chris Lewis. Fish across the glass here from 1 to 3. Caves and Prater will take over today, 3 to 6, and they will be out on location at Franklin Building Supply today doing the show. So stop by and see them there. Chris, the comments made by LaVar Ball, haven't heard much from Lonzo Ball. But you wonder sometimes if players don't like some of the things family members say. And today, Gisele Bündchen appears on CBS This Morning with Charlie Rose and says, whether you can believe her or not, that Tom Brady has had concussions in the last year playing for the Patriots.
Yeah, that's not what you want to have get out there, especially if you're the NFL and concussions are a pretty big crisis. It's funny that Lonzo actually turned down the NBA draft lottery invitation. He was invited there. Lonzo turned it down. So it kind of shows you how much different he is than the dad. You think the dad would turn down the opportunity to be on national television?
There was a string attached. You can come, but your dad can't.
I think they would. What has ESPN showed you about LaVar Ball and the fact that they want him on?
Yeah.
He brings eyeballs there. Fox Sports, the same thing.
But maybe the NBA doesn't want LaVar Ball.
And now Gisele typically hasn't said that many inflammatory things. Or hasn't really made headlines too much about, you know, saying things about Tom Brady's career. So this is one of the rare opportunities that you hear something like that. I think at one point she said, like, Wes Welker should have caught a pass in a Super Bowl that Tom Brady threw, and he didn't end up catching that pass, and it might have cost him the game. So that was pretty much the most you've ever heard from her. And even that, you were, if you're Tom Brady, you're probably like, I don't know if I necessarily want the headline out there, Tom Brady's wife criticizes one of Tom Brady's receivers, because now all of a sudden you have to do some mending of fences that you may not have wanted to do otherwise.
Last year in the championship series, the NBA, Ayesha Curry said NBA games were rigged. You think the statement of the rigged would cause the NBA and Curry more problems, or the statement that Tom Brady's had concussions despite the fact that he's never been listed as having one would be more problematic?
Well, you can't have the wife of the star player saying the game's rigged. Like, that can't happen. Like, that's the most problematic thing here. As big of a problem as concussions are for the NFL, I think if there was a crisis out there that the games were rigged, that probably would take the number one spot over concussions.
But I think, I will speak for myself, I believe that Bunchen's comment has more chance to be right than Curry's comment.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think she would maybe know if Tom Brady was concussed. I don't think Ayesha Curry is getting the memos from Adam Silver about, we want to tweak this game into the Cavs' favor. So, Ayesha, we'll let you be the first one to know that. See the point there. And maybe Giselle's comments has more credibility to it. But still, I think the wife of the star player in the league saying that the game is rigged is a more problematic thing for your sport than saying that somebody had an unreported concussion.
And then there's also a question of if what she is viewing as a concussion really a concussion too.
Yeah, there's that. If she said it's true, then who am I to doubt that
right.
she that it was the case. And I don't know if Tom Brady is going to say anything to refute this or not, but the NFL does have a big problem with concussions. And I'm sure this doesn't help the issue. And you know, the NFL's invested a lot, whether it's the independent doctors on the sidelines or the people upstairs who can literally call down to the sidelines and say, this person needs to be evaluated and taken out the game because he got hit hard and it looks like he might have a concussion, so we're going to need to check on him. The NFL has invested a lot in this. So if, you know, Tom Brady can get the benefit of, well, he got a concussion and he didn't have to come out of the game, I'm sure there's going to be other players who are going to try to hide their concussions too because they feel like they're important to their team and they don't want to miss any plays. And you hear all the stories anyway about players trying to hide their concussions symptoms from the team. I think this would lend a little bit more credence to it and saying, I'm not trying to miss plays. Then you'll end up missing paychecks because if you're somebody who has a reputation of getting concussions and missing time, you're not going to be on an NFL roster because what's the saying? Availability the best is the best ability. Mm. So if you're not available, then you're not going to get paid.
I think it's tough when you have family members, and I don't mean just wife, but parents, kids, you can't control them. I mean, you can ask them not to say something. Mm. You can encourage them not to do something. And hopefully, maybe they think, you know, you're bringing a lot of money to the family and you don't want to, they don't want to cause you any trouble. But I think reining in somebody that's a family member is much more difficult than reining in an agent or reining in a business manager or somebody like that. You can fire them.
Yeah, even like a brother and sister is one thing, or a cousin. I feel like it's easier to tell them to fall back. But when it comes to your parents, that's when people criticize like Lonzo and saying, well, like, why doesn't he tell his dad to fall back? He's costing him millions of dollars. I'm like,
he's what, 19, 20 years old tops?
Mm-hmm, 19.
And I don't know too many 19-year-olds are going to tell their parents
to shut up. Like my mom will still say, I'll climb on a ladder to beat your butt if I have to. So, like, that's just kind of how it works. Like, you, as a kid, you don't – maybe you can, and maybe you get to the point where you turn into LeBron James. Remember LeBron in a playoff game, his first tour with the Cavs against the Celtics? His mom was near the front row and getting into a scuffle with some Celtics members, and LeBron said to his mom, sit yo beep down. Which I just thought that was the most uncomfortable thing that I think I've ever seen on a court, is that a player telling his mom to sit your beep down. Like, I don't know how we could even accept that as being something that's cool on television. Like, you can't disrespect your parents like that. So, like, do you think you can get LaVar Ball to shut up?
No, I don't
what
think,
about
well,
his
no,
personality says, like, he's going to listen to Lonzo even if Lonzo told him to try to shut up. So, like, to blame Lonzo for the outspokenness of his dad, I just think is silly, and maybe it's something you have to live with, but is this really something that's consequential? When is there an example of something that is literally consequential? Because I still think, yes, LeVar is going to say whatever he wants to say. Lonzo's going to be the number two pick in the draft, and it's going to come down to whether Lonzo can ball or not.
Chris Benson, a pitcher, early 2000s, top pick out of Clemson, was traded twice because of his wife.
I mean, was he traded because of his wife, or was he traded
because... his wife was outspoken. He was traded because his wife would blast the team. He was traded because his wife, who ended up serving time for basically trying to injure him, hurt him when they were going to have a divorce, basically she torpedoed his ability to stay with certain teams.
Okay.
Wife was nuts. Anna Benson. She spoke out about their bedroom life, if you will.
Yeah.
That they didn't like, the teams didn't like. And then she blasted the Mets general manager for wanting to put together an all-Latin team. It was pretty descriptive of that. And she posed a lot of times. And that's the one time for sure that I can say that a wife hurt the player's career.
I'm looking at a dude who was 70-75 with a 4.42 ERA. Like, if he was at a point where he was an indispensable player, you'd think he would have been dealt. Like,
she was too much baggage for what he was bringing to the table.
And he wasn't bringing much to the table. So that was the primary concern there, is that, well, if you're an average player, I guess it becomes more of a concern. And that's what I go
But he was not supposed to be an average player. I think they also viewed her as a negative to him and blaming her for some of those numbers.
Well, when was he ever good?
He was a top pick out of Clemson.
Well, when was he ever good? He was 11-14 with a 407 his first year. Next year, he got to 385. And this is in the National League, too, so you got to keep in mind, mm-hmm. you're not talking DH here. 470, 497, like, he was never good. Like, he was never exceptional. If Lonzo Ball is balls, he's fine. McNabb's mom was a little outspoken, had her commercials. That's what, Donovan McNabb balled, so nothing happened. Like, there was no consequence for the parents mm-hmm. being outspoken. So I do think, like, no matter what, it comes down to whether the player can play. Oh, is it Brett Grimes keeps getting work because he's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
He's a pretty good cornerback, despite whatever Miko Grimes wants to do on Instagram or wants to light up teammates. Brett Grimes keeps getting work because he's a pretty good cornerback.
So what you're saying is if you have relatives that are outspoken, colorful, get you in trouble, you better be good because you got to overcome them.
Yeah, it better be good. And guess what? Even if you don't have people like that, you're still got to be good or else teams are going to trade you or get rid of you. That's how sports works. Typically, if you're not good, you're going to get traded or going to get cut, released on a different team. Something's going to happen to you.
I think if you were a college recruiter or if I was a college recruiter and I felt that there was a parent out there, parents out there that were a pain in the butt during recruiting and I thought they were going to continue to be a pain in the butt. If I had two people of equal talent, I'm recruiting the other guy.
So you would pick, if you had them even,
right.
Fultz versus Lonzo, you would pick Fultz, and the tiebreaker Fultz would be the dad.
Would be the dad.
See, I'm not going to let him influence my decisions on talent. I'm going to find the basketball reason that I like one over the other and going to base my pick on that. Mm-hmm. I am not going to let the dad take me out of a prospect who I think might be a little bit more talented. I'm just not going to do it.
I didn't say more talented. I said if somebody was even.
Well, you're going to find a tiebreaker that isn't parents. Find a tiebreaker that's somewhere. Free throw shooting, 3-point shooting. Find one on the court.
But I know in college that has to be a negative. If you meet some parents that you don't like, you want to run away from them as far as possible.
All right, keep running while I get the talented guy.
Well, then have fun for 4 years with somebody's in your office all the time calling you up, making trouble for you.
LeVar Ball on line one. He's ready to go.
Fish, we got an update coming up. What's in it?
Well, a potential new stadium for San Diego State seems to have taken a bad turn. Plus, there may be a whole lot more ties in the NFL, and I don't mean on the team plane.
Right now, we're going to get set to play Touchdowns for Tickets. Be the ninth caller to try to qualify to win a pair of Boise State football season tickets. Again, in our game, Touchdowns for Tickets. These tickets today are in Section 124, Row BB, on the east side between the 25 and the 40. So these are really, really good seats. Sponsored by the Bronco Athletic Association, these tickets are worth $1,260 for the pair. Call 424-9300. Again, you got to be the ninth caller, and you'll play Touchdowns for Tickets next on Idaho Sports Talk on Sports Radio, The Ticket. Getting set. Touchdown for Tickets. Marty is on the line. He wants to qualify. Marty, welcome to Idaho Sports Talk. Congratulations for getting in. Marty, what excites you most about possibly winning the season tickets to Boise State football?
Well, I love the Broncos, so getting a chance to go see them would be awesome.
All right, there you go. So is there a game, an opponent that stands out you want to see?
Actually, I would love to see every freaking game they've ever played from now till eternity.
All right, well, if you qualify and then if you get pulled at 5:30 out of the hopper, you will get to go to all six home games this season. All right, what we're going to do, we're going to play a clip from one of last year's games, one of the big plays. It'll be stopped partway through, and at that point we'll ask you whether it ended up in a touchdown or it did not. And if you are correct, you'll be at minimum one of five people that will be in the hopper. All right, Fish, let's go to the play for today.
First down, they'll hand it to McNichols again. Cuts to the left side. He's got the first down and more down the sidelines.
All right, Marty, you got McNichols running down the sidelines. I can even say right now, I don't know whether he got in on that call or not. He had a lot of nice runs that ended in touchdowns and some that ended not in touchdowns. Did he go to the end zone this time?
Oh, boy. That's a tough one, but I'm going to say not.
Okay. There wasn't a lot to work with there, so here we go.
First down. They'll hand it to McNichols again. cuts to the left side. He's got the first down and more down the sidelines. It is a foot race. Jeremy McNichols is going to be gone. 70 yards on the score.
They didn't tackle him, Marty. I'm sorry. You didn't qualify. So be listening again next hour for another chance to win. And then every day at 5:30, Caves and Prater will pull a name out and pick a winner. Get your season tickets now, by the way. It gives you the best pricing per game, the best seats, and opportunities to purchase additional home game tickets, plus road and bowl games as well. Touchdowns for tickets on your FM home for Boise State Football Sports Radio 93.1, The Ticket.
You can limit it down now to only a few games because McNichols, what, 70-yard run, that had to be the Oregon State one, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there you go. 80 yards was the Colorado State one, so.
Yeah, but you didn't have it, but you didn't hear the 70 before
You didn't know if it was first. Did you know it was from the 30s? And you can maybe say, "Oh, that was that 70-yard run against Oregon State." I just by the feeling of your voice, and
you would guess yes.
I would have
no?
guessed yes because I think I remembered that call because it got played quite a few times. When McNichols has a 70-yard run, it gets played a few times.
You didn't want to help the caller out.
I'm not allowed.
JP says coaching's allowed. K says coaching allowed. So they coach on their show. So,
Well, Bob's the best coach. He's a play-by-play guy.
Bob may not be allowed, but I feel like some coaching may be allowed for you, Chris Lewis.
I mean, you take the best coach available, and I'll admit, I'm not the best coach available when it comes to this. Take the guy who has the calls. Bob can do it.
Well, to be honest with you, sometimes I can't remember whether they went all the way or not because the plays start out pretty similar, turns the corner, and then, I mean, you can get bumped out at the 5-yard line, or you can get all into the end zone, touchdown.
And it was a foot race. Someone could have caught him.
Fair.
Sports Update is brought to you by the Owyhee Tavern. Doing business over lunch or meeting friends in downtown Boise, make it new and exciting at the Owyhee Tavern Steak and Sea on 11th and Main. Well, San Diego State has cut off ties with an investment group involving plans for the current site of Qualcomm Stadium. The Aztecs had been in talks to share a stadium with a future MLS team at the site. Back on January 31st, the MLS had accepted FS Investors' application for a new expansion team in San Diego. The university said the reason they ended talks with FS Investors was because a fair and equitable deal that would provide an opportunity for the long-term success of SDSU and Aztec football, as well as a transparent deal for the citizens of San Diego, could not be reached. And later today on Idaho Sports Talk with Caves and Prater, they will have someone from the Union Tribune down in San Diego on at 4 o'clock to talk about this deal.
Fascinating deal. Qualcomm is going to be in existence for two more seasons, 2017-2018. Then they're supposed to play at Petco for just 1 year, which is the Padres Stadium. Not ideal. That would be 2019. I think this is coming down to two groups that both want different things, FS Investors and San Diego State. And I think this is actually a bigger deal than a football stadium. I think San Diego State wants some of this land to be able to expand their campus, which right now is locked and they can't get more room. And I think just getting a little piece for the stadium is not exactly what they want. So I think there's more to this than athletics.
I think Rocky Long just wants to play on a blacktop. I feel like he's the type of coach who'd be like, you know what, we can play on a blacktop. Defense, hard nose. We can play on a blacktop and they'd be fine. They don't need a stadium.
You're right. Just put some grandstands up on the buildings, have people sell out your room for the game. Why not? Well, LaVar Ball got his wish yesterday. The LA Lakers, unfortunately for you, Chris Lewis, landed the number 2 pick at the NBA draft. And LaVar went straight to work. He told Lakers Nation that Lonzo would only be working out for the Lakers. There's nobody else we need to work out for, said LaVar. He also made the prediction that the Lakers are playoff bound as soon as Lonzo gets to the organization. When asked, well, the Celtics have the number 1 overall pick. What if they want to take Ball? Lonzo told Fox Sports that Fultz is the best player. Celtics should take him.
Now, I like this kind of talk more than I like when he's telling women to stay in their lane. And comments like that, which were also a part of that Fox Sports interview. So that's a little bit more dangerous. But when he's just trying to maneuver his guys to the Lakers, we knew that would happen. But you can't tell LaVar nothing at this point. He spoke it into existence. He said the Lakers were going to have a top 2 pick. He said it over and over again. He believed it. He spoke it into existence. It happened. So you can't tell him anything at this point. He feels like he rules the world.
All right, as a Sixers fan, if it had flipped and the Sixers were 2 and the Lakers were 3, which would have been possible, would you have wanted the Sixers to take Ball, or would you say pass that train and go for somebody else?
I think that Lonzo would have been a pretty good fit. I don't know if he would have been a great fit because he's still the best with the ball in his hands, And I think Ben Simmons would have been the best with the ball in his hands. That's how he works for the Sixers offense. However, at this point, when you're a team that's picking the top five, I always feel like you should go regardless of position and pick who's the best prospect possible. I think it's close, though, between Lonzo and Josh Jackson of Kansas. So I would have been fine with either. I probably would have leaned towards Lonzo, though.
And you would have taken the chances that he didn't want to sign with the Sixers and all that that could be in play.
I think he's going to sign wherever. It's just now he's spoken into existence. It's the Lakers are a possibility. If the Lakers weren't a possibility, you would have lived with whatever the circumstances would be.
I think the Sixers, if they had gone 2 and 3, I think the same thing's happening. I don't think the Sixers would have taken him.
They would have just passed him up if he was the best player available.
That's to be debated.
You guys should have pulled a San Francisco 49ers. Just make the Lakers think you're going to take Lonzo. Make him trade. Rip him off like they did with the Bears. Well, LeVar Ball, not the only person making bold predictions following the NBA draft lottery. Joel Embiid, the 76ers representation, the lottery was complete, and the 76ers got the third overall pick, said, "We're gearing up at the right time. When we start getting good, that's when Cleveland and LeBron will start going down." 76ers are picking in the top three for the fourth straight season, thanks to a pick swap with the Sacramento Kings. The 76ers did win their most games since 2012, 28, and Embiid went on to say, "When I say we're going to be ready to win when the Cavs are going down, that doesn't mean like 5 years. Next year, I think we're going to be ready to win."
Going to beat Cleveland next year. I think he meant like they're going to be ready to win, as in more than 28 games. Yeah. I didn't know if he said we're guaranteeing to knock out Cleveland
That's what I'm hearing.
In the first round of the playoffs in the 1-8 matchup or whatever it happens to be. Again, I like their roster. I don't want them to rush the process, if you will. Like, I still wouldn't be in favor of signing a 31-year-old Kyle Lowry to a 4-year deal at $25 million, because you got to keep in mind, like, eventually these young guys that the Sixers are drafting will have their second contracts. Like right now, they're all on their rookie deals, but once they get to time where you have to sign them to their second contracts, you're going to need to have some flexibility to your roster. So I'm in favor of short-term deals, if that means improving the team, but I don't know if you can have a lot of money invested long-term to these veterans.
I think the biggest thing next year, can they get to 500, and can they get a spot in the playoffs? I think the East is a little more open than the West. I wouldn't be shocked if the Sixers sneak in there as the 8 seed.
They're also in a good spot where they can get good and still have good picks, too, because they have the Lakers pick next year and then the Kings pick the year after that. So even if the Sixers aren't a top 10 lottery team, there's a chance that those teams are top 10 lottery squads. So the Sixers could get better like the Celtics, yet still have early draft picks.
And there might be more ties in the NFL. It's the NFL owners who are expected to vote on a rule that will shorten the length of overtime from 15 minutes down to 10 minutes. Proposed change was tabled back in March with the expectation the owners would vote and approve on it. The spring meetings, which are scheduled to take place next Monday through Wednesday in Chicago, this according to ESPN. The NFL Network also reports the league is considering a change on the injured reserve rule, allowing teams to bring back two players from IR as opposed to just one during the regular season.
I've never understood why the NFL, if you go on IR, you can't come back. I've never understood that, why you wouldn't have a half-season IR or something like that. But I don't know, 15 minutes, 10 minutes, doesn't matter to me. I'm not somebody that hates ties.
Except when you're in basketball games, you tend to wear ties. That was pretty good. Good ties. I think that the NFL overtime is actually dramatic when you almost have a tie, when it's getting to the end of it. So I would actually like a shortened OT. I'm in favor of shortened OTs in a lot of sports. I think college basketball should go to 3 minutes. I think NBA should go to 3 minute overtime. Keep the intensity of the end of the fourth quarter throughout the entire way. And if time's an obstacle too, that adds another element to it.
TV controls a lot of things. I wonder if on a Sunday they don't like an overtime game because it ends up ruining whatever game the next one is that's following.
Or
you got to pull away if it's a must-carry game because of the local team.
Yep.
Coming up next, we've got Quick Hits. What big-name NBA player could be traded? And what happened in baseball yesterday that I had never seen before? That's coming up as Idaho Sports Talk continues on Sports Radio The Ticket. Time now for Quick Hits, where Chris and I tackle four topics in rapid-fire fashion. Let's go.
Topic number one.
Topic number one, Chris. What big-name NBA player just might be available in a trade?
Might be LaMarcus Aldridge if this series keeps going the way that it's looking and that the Spurs can't handle the Golden State Warriors. Popovich said something after the game that I really don't remember him really doing, and that's focusing in on one player and telling the media that this one player needs to do a lot better. LaMarcus has to score for us. He can't be timid. He turned down shots in the first quarter. You can't do it. You've got to score. Scoring has to come from someplace. I think he has a major responsibility in game three to come out and get something done, whether it's for himself or for his teammates. And then there was a follow-up question, and he answered, "You want me to be a psychologist now? You want me to? No, I'll pass," because the question was basically psychoanalyze what's wrong with LaMarcus Aldridge mentally. But he's on a max contract. Max contracts are tough to trade. However, you could probably get something for him because he still has a couple of more years on his deal. And he is a four-man, sometimes could play a five. He could step on the perimeter when he's right, but he doesn't seem like he's fitting and meshing as well with San Antonio as they hoped when they signed him as a big free agent a couple of seasons ago. So I wouldn't be surprised if you start to hear LaMarcus Aldridge trade rumors this summer.
Does he have a no trade?
No, he doesn't.
Okay, well, maybe it will. I just think the biggest problem with LaMarcus Aldridge right now is that there's no Kawhi Leonard. And now he's supposed to be in the front seat as opposed to the passenger seat driving that bus.
Well, he was supposed to be able to handle being in the driver's seat. That's what the big free agent sweepstakes was for a couple of years ago. They didn't anticipate Kawhi Leonard to be that guy. They just so happened to be that way, where he developed in a very pleasing way for Greg Popovich. But when they paid Aldridge, they expected him to be the number one.
Topic number two.
What happened in baseball that you've never seen before?
Well, it's only happened seven times, eight counting yesterday. There were two home runs by the same person in the same game, with both of them coming in extra innings. Chris Davis of the Orioles hit a home run in the 12th inning. The Orioles were the visitors. The Tigers tied the game up. And then he came back to the plate in the 13th inning and hit another home run. Seven times in the entire history of baseball before yesterday had someone had two home runs in extra innings. I almost would think it'd be mathematically impossible.
Chris Davis on my fantasy team getting those home runs, so that's an additional bonus for me. But hey, that's a pretty unique feat to get a couple of at-bats to hit home runs in extra innings.
Topic number three.
Caleb Brantley, draft pick of the Cleveland Browns. Is he lucky or is he unlucky?
I'm still trying to figure this one out. The state attorney's office dismissed a battery complaint against him, according to the court records. The court records cite insufficient evidence to sustain a conviction. The argument began after Brantley reportedly denied a request for a sexual encounter with a woman in Gainesville. What happened next in the dispute has been up for debate. The Gainesville police department at first listed Brantley as the victim and said a Florida student, Chelsea Austin, punched him. He then pushed her out of his face. Then a second police report that was filed 4 days later accused Brantley of punching Austin and knocking her unconscious. A security guard said in a sworn affidavit, this was later, that Austin had punched Brantley, who then pushed her away, causing her to fall to the ground, or without causing her to fall to the ground, I should say. And his legal team said Brantley was the victim. So I don't know which story to believe. It seems like more of the neutral, quote-unquote, witnesses are on the side that Brantley really didn't do anything that warranted charges. So if he didn't do anything that warranted charges, he was a guy who was supposed to be picked in the first couple of rounds who ended up going in the sixth round. So that's unlucky, but you might be lucky that this thing didn't go a whole separate way and now all of a sudden you're spending time in jail. So I don't know whether you should feel lucky or unlucky with this situation. But if he did do nothing and he get basically, it cost millions of dollars in the process of him really doing nothing wrong, I would feel bad for somebody in that situation.
And it sounded like with more of the neutral people agreeing with his side of the story, I guess in the end, the fact that you're not charged, you don't have to defend yourself, I think I'd be ready to take, what was he, a fifth or a sixth round pick?
Six.
Move on and go.
Topic number four.
Who has the best atmosphere going in the playoffs?
Well, it's not the NBA. It's in the NHL. It's the Nashville Predators. They have country music legends that do their national anthem. They got a lot of pick from in Nashville. And they had Titans players last night at the game. Marcus Mariota, their quarterback, got him going. The five offensive linemen were there. They were chugging tall beers. It was quite a sight. The crowd going wild. And I think part of it is it's the first time the Nashville Predators have really been good. Nashville only has one other pro team. It is the Titans. And they've had, you know, a decent amount of success, but not tremendous year-to-year success. But Nashville has really embraced the Predators.
Yeah, I mean, it's a very Nashville celebration. I mean, it might not fit exactly what I'm looking for in an atmosphere. I mean, I'm not a big country music guy. That's not exactly my lane, so that's not attracting me. The five men chugging these beers, I mean, that sounds like something that would happen at a country music. It's very Nashville. Might not exactly fit my personality, though.
Quick Hits with Bob and Chris on 93.1 The Ticket.
Got a fish tank coming up here. Fish, the first time we did it, you got me to swim three times. Was it one or was it two the second time we did it?
I believe it was only one.
Only one. Can you get me in the water to swim again, Chris, do you think?
Well, I mean, he always says wild stuff, so that's the thing. Like,
truthfully wild
stuff. No, it's not true. None of this ends up being true, Fish. You just say crazy stuff that is off the rocker, and you don't even have to be there to live with what you say. You can just go back into the shadows if what you say doesn't even come true. What a life.
Mm-hmm.
Go out there and say crazy things. And unlike LeVar Ball, you're not back for a second appearance with that same statement. You're back again, but you'll just say something else that's crazy. That actually does sound a lot like LeVar
Ball.
Yeah,
it does.
Speaking
of LeVar Ball, his son may make an appearance at the fish tank, not all over the radio waves, but he's going to be one of the topics. So channeling my inner LeVar Ball here.
You guys had LeVar Ball on earlier this year.
Yeah,
that was impressive.
He's a friend of the show. I don't know if he remembers us, but maybe we'll have to get him back on. Maybe he'll give some shoes, Chris. What do you think?
Nah, I don't know if I'm going to get any. I don't know.
I think he'll be more than willing to sell you some shoes.
I can't support the shoes, man. They're way too expensive. I can't rock with kicks that are that crazy. But we'll say he gave us the blueprint on what exactly he's trying to speak into existence. All three of them playing for the same team, preferably the Lakers. Looks like he has one of them. Two more to go.
When we come back, it's the fish tank. Sink or swim next. We continue on Idaho Sports Talk on Sports Radio The Ticket.
It's the Fish Tank with Michael Fisher.
Producer of this show comes up with three topics. He really believes them at the bottom of his heart.
On Sports Radio, The Ticket.
It's true, I believe them, Chris, because they are true. It is time for the Fish Tank. Three topics. Bob and Chris, if they agree, they will swim. If they disagree, they will sink. Chris Lewis, we'll start with you, and we'll start with the NBA draft lottery last night. The LA Lakers, they secured the number 2 overall pick. All signs point to Lonzo Ball, except if the Lakers want to be smart because they need to trade that number 2 pick for Paul George. Paul George, the Indiana Pacer, he has 1 year left in Indiana before he can opt out. He is working out with Kobe Bryant. All signs seem to be pointing that he wants to play for the Lakers when he's done with his contract, but the Pacers are going to want to get something for him. Plus, Lakers, they play in the West. You need firepower in the West. You're not going to have firepower if you're going to have a young lineup. Brandon Ingram, D'Angelo Russell, unless they trade him. Julius Randle and Lonzo Ball. Plus, Ball only wants to play for the Lakers. His dad has said, we're only working out for the Lakers. They haven't hinted they may pull in LA, but it's a possibility. And worst case scenario, Ball plays out his rookie deal wherever he goes. He's coming to LA. That's a foregone conclusion. So why not trade the pick for Paul George? You'll get Lonzo Ball eventually. Sink or swim, Chris Lewis, Lakers, trade number 2 for Paul George.
Your logic was fantastic, except your conclusion was wrong. Like, everything you said made all the sense in the world. Like, you need firepower in the
first.
West.
That's the first.
Yeah, you need to save that drop, actually. You know what? I should never have even said that about you, because you're going to save that and play even when you say these crazy, ridiculous things. But, yeah, you need firepower in the West, and Paul George, all indications, all the reports, he's looking to be in Los Angeles. That's why you don't need to trade for him. He only has 1 year left on his deal. So what you need to do is just be a little patient if you're Los Angeles. Take Lonzo Ball up too and be able to keep your young talent that you have, because guess what? You need firepower. Firepower possibly is that young talent. So what? You might not be great this year, but if Paul George is a free agent next year because he can opt out and he looks like he wants to play for the Lakers. You can sign him without trading everything for him. So you said to be patient because eventually Lonzo Ball will play for the Lakers. Be patient. Eventually Paul George will play for the Lakers and that'll be sooner. That'll be in just 1 year. Lonzo Ball, whatever team he goes to, it's 4 years away because that's the way NBA contracts work. 2 years with a two-year team option.
Bob? I will also sink this one. I agree with Chris's logic. The Lakers, I don't think, are going to be a contender next year. So why give away something? Take the second pick, get what you want, then go out and get Paul George next year, and then that'll build your team even more. Now, I'll say this. If this were to happen and they were to swap the number two pick for Paul George and it would be announced at the podium the night of the draft, that would be pay-per-view. I would pay, as long as I had a picture of Lonzo Ball. LeVar Ball, while the announcement was made that the pick was going to Indiana. I would pay to see that.
Okay, so we need to come up with a consensus. You're rooting against LeVar, right?
Yes.
You're rooting, Fish, for or against LeVar?
I'll go for LeVar Ball.
See, I'm more for than against, but today, just telling women to stay in their lane and calling another reporter just an expert on snacks, like he's getting to that line of where even me, who's a pretty big supporter of the overall message of player empowerment, you're pushing me to the edge.
So 2-6 in the first round.
We'll turn it around. We'll stick in the NBA. LeBron James and the Cavaliers back at the Eastern Conference Finals. They're most likely going to move on to the NBA Finals. However, LeBron, you better enjoy it while it lasts because this is the last year LeBron will represent the East in the NBA Finals. The Celtics had the number one pick. They could trade that for Paul George, maybe do a one-year rental. They also have Jaylen Brown, the number three pick. He's only playing 10 minutes a game. He's going to get better. Plus, Joel Embiid even called it out. The 76ers, if they stay healthy, they can challenge LeBron. And Adam Silver, before the draft lottery, he said, rest is a key issue in this sport. We only want our players resting at home because there's more home games. Rest seems to be a bigger issue on the road. Players are traveling. There's time changes. Cavaliers 0-8 without LeBron on the court this year. He's going to be another year older. He's playing more minutes because he clearly has to carry this team. I just don't think LeBron's going to be able to get it done. So, Bob, sink or swim. This is the last year LeBron will represent the East in the NBA Finals.
I got a question. Last meaning like never coming back?
Yep.
Or not getting there next year?
Never coming back.
Oh, I have to sink that. You said they're not going to get there next year, but never getting there again.
He's just going to get older and older once next year starts.
I would find that hard to believe. Maybe they won't make it next year, but to say that he won't find himself back to the finals, again, surprises me. I do want to say something that you brought up about Adam Silver. I agreed with him 100% that rest, when all these people get off at the same time, is a very big problem for the league when people buy tickets. They need to make sure that the whole team doesn't get rested on the same game. Luck of the draw, if one guy gets rested one game, another guy gets rested another game. And I think the deal for the away games has way more to do with ticket sales because of people that never get to see the Cavaliers in the West. It's their one time in. If LeBron rests, where at home, at least you'd have a chance to see him another time. But I do believe that that's a major problem for the league, and I do agree with Silver that they need to make sure that they spread out when people rest people, not just en masse rest five guys.
Chris, sink or swim. LeBron, last year representing the East in the finals, this year.
So I have two things to sink here. All right, I got to sink your first, your statement on the last year LeBron will represent the East. What about LeBron James says slowing down? Best playoffs that he's had in his career.
His age.
He's basically averaging a triple-double. He's shooting a record high in field goal percentage. His three-point percentage is off the chain. He's getting to the rim at will, and he has teammates that can help him out even if he doesn't want to carry the scoring load. What about that says drop-off? Nothing. So LeBron, he'll be in the finals next year because what? Boston? Yep. Boston and their bunch of average players. I still don't believe in Boston's roster. I mean, Brad Stevens is a good coach. I still don't think this is a fantastic roster. Maybe with Fultz next year it's a little bit better, but I'm looking at a bunch of spare parts surrounded by a really good player in Isaiah Thomas and an okay guy in Al Horford. The rest of those guys can kind of take or leave. They're good players, nowhere near great. All right, now as for the rest thing, I kind of hear you on it. Like, you don't want him resting on the road. But the way the schedule works, a lot of back-to-backs are a product of road trips. A lot of 3 and 4 nights are a product of road trips. So if you're going to keep the schedule the way it currently is, then you're going to have players resting on road games because that's when a lot of games in short amount of time are played. Now, as for trying to spread out the rest, I still make the case that in basketball, it's better to have one game where nobody plays than to have 3 games where your roster's weaker in all 3. Because if your roster's weaker in all 3 and you lose 3 games, that kills you more than losing 1 game.
But from a business standpoint, you make a game that's totally not worth watching, you've sold top dollar for tickets, and you're putting out a JV product. I agree with you with the long road trips. Sometimes that's where you have to do it. But I think it's a bigger problem when you rest 4 or 5 guys at once. That's what they have to change.
All right, 2-6, here we go. We'll try and turn it around. We'll go to baseball. Chicago Cubs, last year they won the World Series. A lot of people picked them to repeat the World Series. They had the young core. Well, they're struggling, 19-19 on the year. They play the Reds, currently tied with the Reds for 3rd in the Central. I'm going to say the Cubs, they're not going to make the playoffs this year. Their pitching is down. Every single starter has an ERA that is at least 1 run higher than last year. Jake Arrieta, he's 4-3 with an ERA of 5.44. Of their starting hitters, only one is hitting above 260. That would be Chris Bryant. He is hitting 309, but the rest of the lineup is struggling. They're down in runs. Last year, their run differential was over 100. This by this date. This year, it is plus 6. They were 27-9 last year. Unfortunately, the team's washed up. It was more of a flash in the pan. The starters, they're not producing. More of a lucky draw. They're behind the Nationals, Cardinals, Dodgers, Rockies, Diamondbacks, and Brewers. Maybe the Brewers will drop out, but the Giants are coming. They've won 4 in a row.
Five in a row.
My bad, Bob. So, sink or swim, Chris. The Cubs not going to make the playoffs this year.
Bob's not going to let you cheat the Giants out of a win. I found that to be the most funny part of this. You know what? You're getting a swim out of me. You're getting a swim out of the Cubs not making the playoffs. They look overworked. Like, they look like the offseason wasn't long enough.
Yeah.
It looked like they spent a lot of time being like, yo, we're the World Series champion Chicago Cubs. And they didn't look like they're ready. And I don't know. I mean, there's still time. But I look at last year, for example, the standings on this day last year. In the NL East, the Washington Nationals were in first. Guess what happened? Washington Nationals were in first place. What happened last year in the NL Central? Cubs were in first place. What happened at the end of the year? Cubs were in first place. This time last year, Giants were in first place.
So it's only 2 out of 3.
But the Dodgers were right there at this time last year, and the Dodgers ended up winning the division. So I can go in the same thing in the AL, too. Baltimore was near the top. They ended up being pretty good. Chicago was actually on top of the AL Central, which I kind of forgot. Chicago got off to a pretty good start last year. And Texas was leading the AL West at this time last year, and Texas ended up closing that out. So it goes to show you, as much as you want to say it's early in baseball, not much changes between now and the end of the year. So with the Cubs, another 500, not too far back. But there's a lot of pretty good teams in the NL. So to just assume that they're going to make the playoffs, I'm not willing to do it. I think they're going to miss it.
Bob, sink or swim, Cubs not going to make the playoffs this year.
I'm going to sink that. Cubs trail the wild card by 2 games right now. Teams in the wild card in front of them are Arizona and Milwaukee. They trail the Cardinals by 2.5 in the division. I think they can easily pass up all 3 of those teams. You've got Colorado, the Dodgers, Washington also in there. Well, if Washington looks to be the cream of the National League, it doesn't matter. Washington's going to win the East, doesn't affect the Cubs. There's a lot of teams in the wild card race that are within 5 games of the top or the bottom wild card. I'm not writing the Cubs off. The Cubs have more talent than Milwaukee or Arizona or St. Louis. Don't write the Cubs off. They'll make the playoffs. And that does it for our edition of Fish Tank. You're listening to almost 100 years of Idaho sports broadcasting experience. Idaho Sports Talk with Bob and Chris, Caves and Prater, and JP. Idaho Sports Talk is 32 years old with almost 100 years of experience. Listen weekdays from 1 to 6 on Sports Radio The Ticket. Coming up next, are NCAA amateur rules outdated? Should a student athlete have to choose between their sport and their passion? That discussion next on Idaho Sports Talk on Sports Radio, The Ticket. Welcome back to Idaho Sports Talk. Bob Beeler, Chris Lewis on Sports Radio, The Ticket. Don't forget, coming up today at 3 o'clock, Caves and Prater will be out at Franklin Building Supply with their show. Stop by and see them there. Chris, as we look at basketball in the Mountain West, a lot of times women's basketball doesn't have the marquee players leaving college to go pursue other activities.
Mm-hmm.
Even basketball, most of them play their 4 years and go. But we've got an issue at Las Vegas. The Gonzalez twins, Dakota and Dylan, had been juniors at UNLV and have opted to end their basketball careers because they want to be able to make money modeling and in the music industry. And they said it's because the NCAA will not allow them to do both.
Yeah, they're the most famous athletes in this conference, if you want to judge by social media following. Nobody in this conference had the type of following that they did, with more than 52,000 followers on their joint Twitter, but more importantly, their Instagram, where Dakota has more than a million followers. She's been linked to Drake romantically. I guess romantically might be the bad way to phrase that, but she's, put it this way, has had celebrity friends and has been linked to celebrities. Dylan kind of the same way, and she has close to a million followers on Instagram. But, you know, they were players for UNLV, pretty good, you know, all Mountain West for Dakota, 13 per game. Dylan, a starter this most recent season, averaged 10 points per game. But with their popularity still at a pretty good height, they said, all right, we graduated from UNLV. They just graduated last week. They said, we're not going to come back with our senior season of eligibility. They were transferred from Kansas, sat out a year, so they got their degree before their eligibility is up. And they each said on their social media accounts that the reason that they're not coming back isn't because that they just suddenly stopped having a passion for basketball. They would love to continue to play basketball. But as Dylan said, but because of the NCAA and the ancient set of rules that has yet to evolve with the rest of time, our hand has been forced to make the tough choice and go on to build a foundation to pursue our music careers outside of basketball. If I could do both, I would. Trust me. And a 9.9 out of 10 of you would never really understand how bad we want to, but why it's impossible. And Dakota, similar. Unfortunately, with the rules and restrictions placed on college athletics, it is absolutely impossible for me to pursue my career aspirations and play Division I basketball at the same time. So I read that. Like, I kind of felt bad. Because, again, their players are certainly good enough to play next year. And they were, one of them was an all-Mountain West player. They certainly, UNLV women's basketball would love to have them for next season. They want to play basketball for next year. But because of the fact that, yes, they want to basically commercialize themselves. They want to be able to make money. They want to be able to use their music to build an individual profile. They can't do that while being a college athlete. So, question to you, who's been within college athletics for such a long time, what do you think of this situation?
It's a tough call. I think that the name and image and likeness of somebody is going to end up 10 years from now or so going to the players. It's starting to come a little bit more. But I think in this case, it's such an odd case because we're talking about music, we're talking about modeling, we're talking about probably decent-sized contracts, that this would be a huge test case. UNLV could file for a waiver, and waivers can be gotten. Boise State had a player that they, you know, you could file for a waiver asking for somebody to model, and that would happen, but it couldn't be where you use your name. You could go into a catalog and just be one of, you know, 50 models in there. So when you look at it, I don't think that anything like this has really come up before. I guess the closest thing would be the skier that played football that wanted to take money for being in a commercial.
Bodie Miller was?
No, it wasn't Bodie Miller. It was a different guy. Played for the Eagles.
Oh, I know who you're talking about. I had that name.
He was a skier at Colorado, made the Olympic ski team, wanted to be in the commercial for the Olympic.
Yeah, I'll look up the name.
For the Olympic, but he had to choose between playing football at Colorado or going on. Tough call. I think
Jeremy Bloom.
Thank you. I think in the end, players are going to get the ability to use their name and likeness, but I think where the line's going to get drawn is they won't let them use anything with the school.
Okay.
No logos, no highlights, no jerseys, no anything.
That's what you think is going to happen.
Eventually.
As a 50-something-year-old man, what do you think should happen? Like, not saying what you think the NCAA will do. I'm saying, what do you think is fair? What do you think is right?
I think part of it on this UNLV team, at least if it was me, I don't know that I'd want my student athletes endorsing the fact that they're going to be out at some club in Las Vegas. And maybe that's why UNLV didn't apply for a waiver. That's me talking. That's nobody telling me that. But that's part of some of the things that they want to do.
Yeah.
So I think some of it comes down to looking ahead into the future. What happens if said athlete wants to do a commercial for Ford and the team's official vehicle is a Chevy?
Yeah, what happens?
That's what I mean. Can they tell them they can't do Ford, or they can do Chevy, or they can't do Dodge, or whatever? I think that there's a lot of gray area there when it happens of how this thing's going to be adjudicated as far as what's allowed and what's not allowed. I don't think a school or a team is going to be okay with. You look at some commercials in the NFL, sometimes you'll see a player in a football uniform that has nothing to do with the team logo. Mm-hmm. They're in just a generic, say if they play for the Steelers, a generic black jersey.
The crying baby LeBron commercial, okay, where he's in that,
yes,
black
right,
generic
that
jersey.
That means the NBA and the Cavaliers did not sanction that particular sponsor. They did not want to be associated with it, but LeBron went ahead and did it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I think you'd see a lot of that because I don't think the schools are ever going to allow people to use their likeness. I think if a lawsuit ever were to come through and get far enough in advance, it would be that the players can do things, but I think the school will always have the right to say, you can't use our uniforms, you can't, yeah, mention that you're a player, you can't do anything like that.
And I think the student-athletes would completely understand that. Like, you can't use the fact that you're – you can't use UN, can't have UNLV on the front. You can't have Boise State, mm-hmm, in the ad because, yeah, we didn't sanction this. And if we didn't sanction this, you can't be wearing our gear in the ad. That's completely understandable. But right now, the way the system's set up is you can't even be – in all black clothing, as long as you're Dakota Gonzalez, who plays for UNLV, if you show up in all black clothing with no logos on it in a commercial, you're not allowed to do that. That's against the rules
that
are currently situated.
One thing I think that's a little bit hypocritical by the NCAA, and we'll use Joe Martirano as an example here. They allowed him to play for the Cubs, mm-hmm, and take money for the Cubs. Now, players are allowed to have outside jobs, but you could promote the fact that, you know, and I don't think because he didn't play in Boise here other than a couple of games, it really didn't affect it. But if you had somebody on a minor league team in town, like if Tim Tebow was playing for a minor league team down the road in Florida while he was playing for the Gators, you don't think that that team wouldn't have monetized the fact that, yeah, Tim Tebow was playing for us. The other thing, you can have side jobs. It's just like, let's say, for example, if you were a stockbroker, if you knew stocks and this was your calling outside of sports, you could be a stockbroker. You just couldn't promote the fact that player X from team Y is doing stocks. Come see him. Mm-hmm. But you could do the job and work.
But that's where I think the biggest disconnect and why in 2017, whatever rules that you had in place for before 2017, they don't exactly fly. Because individual branding is such an important part of being in college. Like, that's what they teach you to do, is find a way to build up your social media profile and build up your Instagram to get a lot of followers and build up your Twitter so you have a presence that when you get out into the workforce, you're somebody who's marketable. And similarly, that's kind of what the Gonzalez twins were doing at a level that was better than anybody else, is that they were putting pictures up there. They were giving people kind of behind-the-scenes access in a way to where they were building up millions of followers on their social media pages. Why would the NCAA want to be against something that is basically taught in classes in college, which is do your best to build up your individual profile? And if it means advertising yourself, go out there and do it. I have an example of a list of, 20 companies that were started by people who were in college. Whether you want to go with Snapchat, whether you want to go with Facebook, whether you want to go with Dropbox. These were companies that were smart, that were started by kids who were currently in college. And you think that they weren't out there self-promoting, using themselves, and if they had some kind of marketability, using themselves in that to be able to launch that brand, that's what college is about in 2017. It's a different situation than what it was in the 1960s and 70s. So for the NCAA to have rules that prevent people from flourishing in that way, I find that to be really silly.
I'm not so sure the rule isn't meant to try to keep competition even. If the rule isn't so that somebody that lives and plays for Alabama isn't going to be given a whole bunch of side money by boosters at Alabama asking him to do things. I think when you look at a lot of NCAA rules, the bottom line is schools are afraid that some other school is going to have an advantage. And I think the rules are probably on the books more to limit what schools can do to try to enhance people wanting to play for them versus to try to stop students from doing things.
I could say that it would even the playing field. Right now we have a system. If you think the playing field is even right now, you're crazy. Like all the rules that are in place but Alabama.
But that's why the rule book was made. Everybody in Alabama thought they thought Tennessee was going to get advantage over them.
I mean, they have
vice versa.
They have an advantage over everybody anyway. They're Alabama. They have a better practice facility. They spend more money on their coach. They spend more money on all their other assistant coaches. All the advantage is already built in at Alabama. Mm-hmm. So if you're afraid of the system being out of whack where some programs won't have the resources as others, we're already there in college athletics. So I'm not too concerned about that. I'm concerned about whether you're holding people back from being able to accomplish everything that they're able to accomplish. And I think this is holding people back more than it is doing anything else. And then on that note, you're also punishing schools. I'd say, for example, if Boise State had a fantastic business program that could lead people to being like, you know what? I know how you can take advantage of your own personal brand to be a successful business person down the line. That could be an advantage for somebody who doesn't have the money that an Alabama has, but you have a very good business program that can help the student athlete take advantage of it, and maybe that was what they'd be interested in so you can get a recruit that you otherwise wouldn't get.
I wouldn't be surprised if a school like a Boise State, I mean, I think others, Nebraska, I guess Alabama would fall into this road. You're not competing against pros.
Mm-hmm.
So would Brett Rypien be somebody that somebody would want to pitch their product? You're not competing. I mean, sorry, Steelheads and Hawks. You don't have people that are as known in this town as people that play for Boise State. Chandler Hutchison. You've got people that play here that have come through here that when they played, you wouldn't think somebody wouldn't want to Kellen Moore pitching for them. Yeah.
Or even something as similar as the thing, Ian Johnson, a few years back with the beanies. I mean, that's something that the NCAA at the time kind of put a stop to, but where an individual who happens to play sports had a business mentality, I think that's something that you should try to highlight instead of putting a stop to. But, you know, that's just the backwards thinking that's currently in place.
So you'll have to check the Gonzalez twins out on Facebook, Instagram, modeling engagements, and their music.
Yeah, SoundCloud.
You won't see them playing basketball.
Nope, no more hoops.
Fish, what's in the update?
Well, San Diego State's future stadium plans just went up in the air. Plus, Mark Cuban finally revealed maybe why the Mavericks made some questionable roster moves with their starting lineup late in the NBA regular season.
All right, it's time now to play Touchdowns for Tickets again. Be the ninth caller to try to qualify to win a pair of Boise State football season tickets. These tickets are at Section 124. That's on the east side, Row BB, located between the 25 and the 40-yard line, sponsored by the Bronco Athletic Association. These tickets are worth $1,260 per pair. Call 424-9300 now to play Touchdowns for Tickets. Ninth caller gets a chance to play. That's next on Idaho Sports Talk on Sports Radio, The Ticket. Time now before we get to the update. We're going to put the update on hold. It's Touchdowns for Tickets. Dave has gotten through as the ninth caller. Dave, you got a chance to qualify for later today to win a pair of Boise State season tickets. Dave, how are you doing today?
I'm great. How are you guys?
We're rocking and we're doing pretty well. When's the last time you've been to a game?
The opening game last season.
Okay, right. That's a pretty good one.
Yeah. Washington State?
Yeah, that was a fun, entertaining game. So hopefully, you know, a lot of entertaining games that Boise State wins in the future if you're able to get this prize.
So which one would be the most favorite to go to this year?
You know, a lot of good games this season. I am really looking forward to seeing the Cowboys come here so we can get some revenge.
I see.
Yeah. Josh Allen. See if we can sack him a few times, force some turnovers.
Yeah.
All right, Dave is ready to try to qualify to win a pair of Boise State season tickets. He's got to tell us whether this play is a touchdown or not. We'll play the first part of the play and then stop and ask for his decision. First time we did it today, person did not get it right. So, Dave, you're looking to be the first qualifier, so you'd have at worst a 1 out of 4 chance. All right, Fish, play the first part.
Blunt over the middle with the catch, and now it's ripped out by Darren Lee at the 18-yard line.
All right, what happens? Does Darren Lee pick it up and score, or does this play not end in a touchdown?
I'm going to say scoop and score.
Blunt over the middle with the catch, and now it's ripped out by Darren Lee at the 18-yard line, and Darren Lee's going to score a touchdown. Darren Lee, the senior middle linebacker. I don't know if that goes as a fumble recovery or an interception.
Didn't matter how they scored it. Officially, they scored it a pick, but you could have made a case that it was a fumble. And Chris,
you know,
this would have been the worst miss of all.
It was a qualifier is what it was. Forget a scoop, forget an interception, forget a fumble. It was a qualifier. So congratulations.
Were you listening yesterday, Dave?
I have, yeah. I'm a regular listener.
But I mean, did you hear us say that if he gets the ball and Tyler Horton gets the ball, that those are the ones for sure that score?
Yeah, a little inside information.
All right, Dave paid off. Listen, yesterday. All right. Congratulations. Dave, be listening at 5:30 today. And we'll see whether you are the winner. Again, you're the only one so far that's qualified. And by the way, get your season tickets now. Gives you the best pricing on a per-game basis, plus the best seats, opportunities to get tickets to additional home games, road games, bowl games, touchdowns for tickets on your FM home for Boise State Football Sports Radio, 93.1 FM, The Ticket.
Pay us to hear what we say. Sometimes we give away clues that we don't even know we're going to be giving away.
I didn't know that fight was coming up.
No idea. It was the same exact time yesterday we were talking about this.
With McNichols, with Wilson, with Spurbeck, they have some good plays. They have some plays that are really good but also don't score. But those two defensive plays, they did score.
And the sports update brought to you by Big Judd's. Try the all-new deep-fried pickle spear and nacho burger at Big Judd's on protest near Boise State and in Meridian on Overland near Eagle Road. Speaking of the Mountain West, San Diego State has cut off ties with an investment group, FS Investors, developing a plan for the current site of Qualcomm Stadium as a future stadium between the Aztecs and a future MLS team. MLS approved back in January. FS Investors' application for a new expansion team. However, the university said the reason it ended the talks was because, quote, a fair and equitable deal that would provide opportunity for long-term success of SDSU, Aztec football, as well as a transparent deal for the citizens of San Diego, could not be reached. And today at 4 o'clock at Idaho Sports Talk with Caves and Prater, someone from the Union Tribune will be on to talk more about this deal.
I think right now San Diego State and the group that wants to build Soccer City don't have enough matching up where each one of them is looking out for themselves and wants it, and I think that they'll either have to compromise or go their separate ways.
Really uncertain future. That's not a position that you want to be in at all for San Diego State. I feel like that's the kind of team, though, that'd be happy just playing on a blacktop. You know, just play outside on a blacktop, put some bleacher seats on there. They're a hard-hitting, physical-type team that would love nothing more than to play football on blacktop.
That'd be quite the home. Would that be more of a home field advantage than the blue turf?
Absolutely, right?
You're playing on pavement.
Got elbow scrapes and everything. Yeah. You play football on the pavement before.
Yeah,
that.
Oh yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's fun.
It's fun not for the guy getting tackled.
Exactly.
Speaking of fun, potentially, Dallas Mavericks, they were at the draft lottery last night. They did not win, came in with the 9th overall pick. However, GM Mark Cuban said that after the Mavericks were eliminated last season, the team did everything they could to lose. Cuban said the primary way the Mavericks did this was by starting their young players, including 3 guys with less than 3 years' experience in the league. However, Cuban did say it was not the players who were trying to lose the games. Quote, once a guy walks on the court, they're going to play their heart out. Mavericks were 2-5 once they were eliminated from the playoffs and went to this new-look lineup.
See? Telling y'all, why are you guys trying to hold up the Sixers as if they're doing something that all these other teams aren't doing too? The Lakers should be the face of tanking for what they've done each of the past 4 years to improve their draft position. Told y'all, the Mavericks, same kind of thing, except their owners admitting it. So with the Sixers, the NBA reportedly stepped in and said you had to get rid of Sam Hinkie because of what they were doing. So what? Should the NBA step in and make Mark Cuban have to fire somebody?
That would be,
I feel like that's only fair.
That would
if
be
you
hilarious.
Made the Sixers get rid of Sam Hinkie, who was proven to be a pretty sound GM and knew what he was doing, then you need to have the Mavericks fire somebody too. Rick Carlisle has to go.
Astros did that in baseball.
Yeah.
It's paid off. They've got the best record in the American League West right now. And think about it, every baseball season, there's probably 6 to 10 teams that will trade a veteran that is not going to come back. It's going to play out his option as a free agent. Mm. You're going to get nothing for him other than maybe a compensatory draft pick. And you look with the Yankees may have pulled the ultimate one last year when they got the Cubs to give him 4 or 5 really good prospects and then signed him back.
Yeah, got Chapman back. Exactly. So stop, like, it's a basketball thing too. Other sports have their own unique ways to take advantage of making your roster weaker now to have it stronger in the future. It's not like it's bad to make your current team now that doesn't have a high ceiling make it worse for yourself to have a brighter future of whether it's assets, whether it's better players down the line, something.
But the one thing he said that I think is true in everybody's league, you may want to not do as well as the management, but nobody has ever accused whoever is put out on the lineup mm-hmm. of tanking because it doesn't benefit the player himself. You want to show why you need to be back, why you need to be even either with that team or another team. So I don't think anybody has ever accused the players of not giving 100%, or my opinion, the coaches in a given game not doing 100%.
Yeah, correct. Why would a player want to lose so you can have somebody there take your job?
The Lakers won, 6-7 in a row to end the season?
Yeah, they almost won too many games.
Yeah, vaulted over the Suns.
They were careful. Let's win, just not too much. We win a little bit, just not a lot of it.
And we'll end the sports update with one piece of news. New England Patriots tried to get a little deep in the rule book to keep LeGarrette Blount on the roster, giving him a rare, unrestricted free agent tender. However, he has signed a one-year deal with the Philadelphia Eagles. It's unclear whether or not the deal with the Eagles will try to circumvent the compensatory pick dilemma, which is why the unrestricted free agent tender was put on Blount in the first place.
Tickets are on sale now for the 4th annual Jackson's Country Stomp. It's Friday, August the 4th at the Ford Idaho Center Amphitheater. It'll star Jake Owen with special guests Cassidy Pope and Neil McCoy. Get your tickets at any Jackson's food store and receive a $5 discount through Wednesday, May the 31st, with a qualifying purchase of special Miller, Coors, or Pepsi products. When we come back, it'll be Quick Picks. I am close to maybe getting my first week's win. Can I hold on? We'll see what Fish has for Chris and I to pick. That's next on Sports Radio, The Ticket.
It's time to consult the Magic 8-Ball. Open up a fortune cookie, or maybe even flip a coin.
I get him into the future.
However they do it, it's time for some quick picks and predictions with Bob and Chris.
All right, we're going to put the picks on hold for a second. Chris opened the show by just ranting and raving that the Lakers need to own the fact that they were trying to tank to get picks. Kevin, a Laker fan, wants to jump on Idaho Sports Talk and defend his franchise. Kevin, welcome.
Bob, it is always a pleasure to be able to call this talk show midday. And sure enough, I take a late lunch and I hear Chris Lewis berating my Lakers, my beloved Lakers, lifelong fan, longtime former season ticket holder. Now it's mid-afternoon. I'm back in the car calling you from the parking lot of St. Alphonsus, about to go into my cardiologist for my annual appointment.
Oh good. It's not like you're having an issue because the Lakers were doing poorly this year.
Well, the first thing that's going to happen is they're going to measure my blood pressure, and the second thing that's going to happen is they're going to go, how do you explain this sudden hike? Do we need to increase your medicine? I'll spell it out for them. The initials are CHRISLEWIS. And, Chris, you should know, I still haven't forgiven the Sixers of Moses Malone for their faux sweep of my Lakers.
We're going
it's
back
part
to
of the same
day.
Reason I hate the New York Knicks. This predates your life, but this, you know, you're absolutely right. The only reason I'm upset is because the truth hurts. And frankly, I don't see how year after year after year lately of them drafting D'Angelo Russell and other swingmen and D'Angelo Russell and swingmen and guards, I don't see how Lonzo Ball is going to come in. Now, his game might mimic Magic Johnson's from all appearances, but please, people, my game mimics Jack Nicklaus's on the golf course as long
just
as you spot me 12 strokes per side. But you're absolutely right. People shouldn't pile on the Sixers. Our problems began when Jerry Buss died and mm-hmm. Jim Buss told yep. Mitch Mitch Kupchak to give Matt or Kobe that 2-year extension. Indeed. That's when our demise began. I just don't think we can get it back with a bunch of guards, swingmen, and Timofey Mozgov.
That's why next year your unprotected draft pick is going to Philly, so I'm looking forward to that. But here's some advice. Take the best player available. Don't worry about fit. If you think Lonzo is the best player available, that's who you want. You'll figure out the rest later. Although, if you do need to unload D'Angelo Russell, I know a team that's in Philadelphia that could use a guard who can create his own shot a little bit. So if you're looking to deal, I'm listening.
They should make me general manager. I'm telling you, I watched the Clippers be horrible year after year after year, and with round one, they couldn't get out of their own way. This goes on for another year or two, and my Lakers are the Clippers.
Ooh, that's painful for an LA fan. Kevin, we appreciate it.
Thanks for calling. Great appreciate call. It. Have a good checkup today.
Yeah, hope all is well.
All right, we've got the picks now, Fish.
Yes, a quick
pick. Give me ones I can get.
I will,
you
hopefully.
Go fast, too.
Yep, they're sponsored by Pro-Am Sports, your full-service pro shop at Bowling Special, with high-quality bowling balls, bags, shoes, and accessories. Located right inside Westie's Garden Lane in Garden City. Chris is down 3. Bob went 2-1 yesterday. He'll get to pick first. We can try and get 4 in so we can at least have a clear winner. Pick number 1, Boston-Cleveland. Game 1 tonight. Will Boston finish within 10 points of the Cavaliers? 3 of the 4 games in the regular season were within 10. So, Bob, will Boston be within 10 points of Cleveland at the end of Game 1?
I'm going to go with no. I just think that the NBA has been rife with 10-point or more games. I think the Cavaliers tonight get off to a good start in Game 1. They'll be primed and ready to go. They will win by more than 10.
I think they'll be out of rhythm to start this game, Cleveland, a little bit. I think it'll be helpful for them later on. They'll have more rest. But I think this is the game that Boston's actually going to be within 10. I think the blowout potential is Game 2.
Well, let's stick in the Boston Celtics series. Chris, go to you. Who has more points tonight, Isaiah Thomas or LeBron James?
Let's go to Bob first. I want to make up my crowd.
No, we always alternate. We're not changing the rules for
IT
you today,
four.
Chris Lewis.
IT4.
Well, I agree. I think Thomas is going to be a guy that's going to shoot. He's going to LeBron's going to,
I want to change my mind. I want to go LeBron
now. No changing.
Go to him first. I need to make up ground.
All right, we'll go to Bob first. We'll go to baseball. Who wins tonight? Red Sox versus the Cardinals. Last year's Cy Young winner, Rick Porcello, versus the early dark horse, Mike Leake. Who you got winning tonight, Bob? Cardinals or Red Sox?
I think the Red Sox are going to win tonight. I think that they will come through tonight and get the win.
Give me the pitcher who's pitching better. That right now is Leake and the Cardinals. I like St. Louis in this game.
All right, we'll listen to you, Chris. Bob has a 3-game lead. We'll go to Bob first. Pick number 4, Bob. Over, under, 3.5 goals combined between the Penguins and Senators tonight.
I'm going to go under. These teams are very good defensively. Last game, there was only 1 in the whole game. I will go under.
Game 1, there was only 3 in the game. So they're due. They need some goals. Need some more of them. So I'm going over, and I'm going to get 3 right and be in a tie. So there you go. I'm going to prevent Bob from winning the week again.
I sure hope that's not true.
I have to get right before you go away and leave me.
Tomorrow, it'll be Huddle Up with Harsh. That'll come at 2:15. We'll also have 2 more chances for people to qualify for tomorrow's Boise State football season tickets. Touchdown for tickets. Caves and Prater coming up next. They're on location at Franklin Building Supply. Go by and see them. Watch the show. Sports Radio, The Ticket.
Sports Radio 93.1 FM and 1350 AM, The Ticket.